listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk.
We interrupt our normal intro because it's time for a special edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. It's time we bring in a new Friday co-host who's an expert on all things Trump Russia, Trump ethics, Trump fraud, or pretty much any Trump scandal you can think of.
He said very strongly yesterday that he's innocent.
Liar, liar, pants on fire!
Liar, liar, pants on fire!
Is itself a lie, and it's something Donald does daily.
It's time we expose the Trump administration for what it really is.
This is a tough hurricane. One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
I am the least racist person.
The lie detector determined that was a lie.
So sit back and open up your beverage of choice. Because right now on the Repartee, it's Mueller time with Richard Painter.
And God bless the United States.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
Yeah, welcome to the Repartee. All Doug Padgett in here with Professor Richard Painter. And Richard, really good to see you. I can see you on the internet. You can't see me. I'm in New York City. You're there in the Twin Cities. And,
where are you? At the Trump Tower?
Yeah, I'm right down the street. I can smell it from here.
Come across any tax returns, let me know. We've been looking for those.
Yeah, I've been looking around. Hey, the big news today, Professor Painter, is that Trump's lawyer is saying that the Justice Department has to read into the release of his tax returns. Does that make any sense to you? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't even know how that would work or why the Justice Department would have to express an opinion about if the IRS should follow some kind of a request or demand from Congress. What does the Justice Department have to do with that?
Well, it's ridiculous. They shouldn't have anything to do with it. She just released the tax returns. Hillary Clinton released her tax returns. Other candidates are releasing their tax returns, and nobody's having to call the Justice Department to think about releasing their tax returns. The only area where the Justice Department comes in is if Donald Trump decides he's going to fight the subpoena from the United States House of Representatives, and he wants to go to the courts, and he's going to use the Justice Department at our expense to litigate to try to prevent the United States Congress from getting those tax returns from the IRS. It's ridiculous. He promised he'd release the tax returns when he ran for president, but like every other promise he made, he's broken it. Now he wants to use the Justice Department at our expense in order to defend his position and conceal whatever he's hiding in those tax returns.
Now, it feels to me like one of the classic jobs you do if you're in a position like someone like Donald Trump is that you use the power of your position to slow walk, you know, this phrase, to slow walk any response that you actually don't want to make. So you don't have to say yes. You don't have to say no. You just stall. And that's what I feel like is happening with the Mueller report, that that Barr's need to perform his own redaction is just a classic slow walk until they think that there's, you have run out of energy for people to care about this. Is that what you think is happening, or is there anything reasonable at all in this need to perform some kind of redactions that could take, you know, the better part of a month to perform?
Well, it's ridiculous. The idea they have to redact information from the report. There are only two reasons to redact. One is if there's classified information. And the classified information they can share with the United States House of Representatives and Senate members who have a security clearance. So those people at least ought to get the entire Mueller report. Second, they would redact information that is confidential, that has been submitted to a grand jury in connection with pending criminal prosecutions. We keep hearing from the White House that it's all over, that there are not going to be any criminal prosecutions that have anything to do with the Mueller report. Well, if that's true, there's nothing to redact. And yet they are acting as if this redaction is going to take a long time. They got a lot of lawyers on their hands. This should have been taken care of within hours of the submission of the Mueller report to the United States Department of Justice. And now we're looking at almost 2 weeks. It's time to turn the entire Mueller report over to the United States Congress and the non-classified portions of it over to the American people.
So, Richard, you've worked in this field. You know people who do these kinds of jobs. You were an ethics attorney for the Bush White House. So you understand sort of how this works. I'm... you know, a pastor and a guy on the radio, right? And it feels to me like there is this sense that no one can say anything about Robert Mueller other than he's a great American that served his country well. But it feels to me, as someone who followed this for 2 years, that if Robert Mueller is as good at his job as everyone was saying that he was, first of all, he should have come to a conclusion on obstruction. But secondly, whatever report he was going to write, he knew was going to be asked for or demanded for by Congress or the American people. Why would he not have put together a report that was ready to distribute the day that he gave it to the Attorney General?
I bet it was ready to distribute. I think this is just a lot of BS we're getting from Attorney General Barr. We need that report. We need it now. As for the obstruction of justice issue, I discussed this on the show last week. I think that once we read the report, we're going to see overwhelming evidence of obstruction of justice. And the only open issue is whether the President of the United States can ever really obstruct justice in a federal investigation that he himself supervises because he's in charge of the executive branch. I don't buy this theory, that the so-called unitary executive theory, that the President of the United States gets to call the shots at every federal investigation and therefore he can't possibly obstruct it because he's the boss. But there is this constitutional theory floating around out there. It's pushed by a lot of right-wingers. I don't buy it, but the bottom line is that's not Robert Mueller's job. Robert Mueller's job is to lay out the evidence, and I believe that when we see that report, we're going to see facts that show clearly that there is obstruction of justice and that there likely would have been a criminal indictment were it anyone other than the President of the United States who committed those acts of obstruction of justice. The only serious open issue being, and the one that's a constitutional issue, whether the President of the United States could actually be indicted for obstructing a federal investigation. This is a matter that should have been resolved after the Nixon resignation, but Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, and so we never litigated this question back in 1974. So I actually agree with Robert Mueller, just writing the report, having the facts there, and then it's really, if he's not to be indicted for obstruction of justice, he should be impeached for it. And that's why that report needs to be over at the House Judiciary Committee now, so the House Judiciary Committee could decide whether to impeach him. And if that's the way the courts would rule, that you don't indict him, you impeach him first, okay, let the House do its job.
So Richard, explain some of this for people who are, you know, trying to put it all together, because there's a lot of technical words that get thrown around: conspiracy, criminal conspiracy, obstruction of justice, collusion, sort of working with the Russians, but not criminal conspiracy. What kinds of things could you imagine could be in this report, as long as we'll, you know, we don't have it to look at yet? So between Mueller and Barr, they've created this empty space for people like us to have to fill in. What could you imagine that would be in Mueller's report, redacted or unredacted version, that could cause the American people or Congress to say, while this does not reach a criminal offense as dictated in law by, you know, the Justice Department, but still rises to the level of being an impeachable offense or a high crime or misdemeanor as determined by Congress for impeachable causes?
Well, the two parts of the Mueller report that are outlined in Attorney General Barr's letter. The first part has to do with conspiracy with the Russians, that issue. And then the second part of it is the question of whether the President of the United States, Donald Trump, not only committed obstruction of justice, but could be criminally charged for obstruction of justice. So we should keep those two parts of the report separate. Those are two separate issues. So let's start with the criminal conspiracy. Robert Mueller apparently reached the conclusion that a criminal conspiracy could not be charged in connection with Trump campaign coordination with the Russians. Threshold for criminally charging someone and showing beyond a reasonable doubt that they committed a conspiracy is a very, very high bar, no pun intended here. What you need is actual coordination during the criminal activity. So we could very well have a situation where the Trump campaign had a heads up that the Russians had stolen the emails, which is a crime, had a heads up as to when they were going to be released to WikiLeaks, which is another crime, a heads up that the Russians favored Donald Trump and that the Russians wanted certain things from Donald Trump, but that the campaign stopped short of actually coordinating with the Russians or agreeing to an express quid pro quo. And to use an analogy, a conspiracy in these circumstances is difficult to prove as a bribe with a campaign contribution. You can have someone who makes an enormous campaign contribution. They show up at your events. They tell you exactly what they want, but you never have an express quid pro quo. You can't charge anyone with bribery, and yet we all know what was going on. And I believe that we look through that portion of the Mueller report, you're going to find a lot of criminal activity by Russians, people in the Trump campaign who are well aware of this criminal activity and who adjust their own conduct accordingly, but you don't have the actual proof of coordination between the Russians and the Trump campaign, that they're each sort of doing their own thing, well aware of what the other was doing. And that stops short of a criminal conspiracy. Now, impeachable? Oh, yes. You have a campaign that is taking advantage of interference in an election by a foreign power. No one reports it to the FBI what's going on. You know, we have a whole range of questions that would be asked by the House Judiciary Committee. Once again, I want to emphasize that presidents can be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors. That's defined by the United States House and Senate and fall as a very, very different legal standard than for proving criminal conspiracy. We need to get that report because that part of the Mueller report is absolutely critical to our national security. We had a foreign country trying to influence, well, they did influence, probably determine the outcome of our election. They are meddling again. They meddled in 2018. The Russians are gearing up for 2020. There's some evidence they're nosing around the Democratic primaries. The Russians are at this game. We need to see that report.
Yeah. Well, that's Richard Painter. This is Doug Padgett. This is AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. In your afternoon, Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about Mueller after the break. AM 950. Stick with us over the commercials.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on The Zero Hour, reviewing the Mueller papers with Ryan Grimm, why Medicare for America is not Medicare for all and not for you, repercussions of Russiagate, and feel-good stories about starving children. All this and more on The Zero Hour, every Sunday night from 9 till midnight on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette. 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
This is Artbeat for the Week. I'm Elizabeth Horeb, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'll be letting you in on some wonderful arts events in the St. Paul area this weekend. Today through Sunday, the American Craft Council is having its annual show, an elevated arts fair like no other. The goods here aren't the arts and craft projects from your camp days. They're the real deal. More than 230 artists from around the country will be bringing their clothing, jewelry, accessories, home goods, furniture, and ceramics to the St. Paul River Center. It's time to get your craft on. The American Craft Show will take place at the St. Paul River Center. To learn more about it, go to craftcouncil.org. This is the final weekend to catch The Last Firefly at Stepping Stone Theater in St. Paul. Theater Mew and Stepping Stone Theater for Youth collaborated to co-produce The Last Firefly, a story about the child of the God of Thunder, Boom. Boom must find his inner strength after his stepfather forces him to leave his home. The play references Japanese fairy tales and folklore. Writer Naomi Iizuka uses kabuki technique to illuminate the story for younger audiences. The play runs 70 minutes. There's a performance tonight at 7 p.m., then Saturday and Sunday matinees at 3 p.m. Go to www.steppingstonetheater.org to learn more about The Last Firefly and to reserve your tickets today. Here's another one for the kiddos. This Sunday, from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. in St. Paul, get on out to the kids' dance party at Can Can Wonderland. The Pledge Party team and Pledge Empire Records produce this fun, popular kids' dance party the first Sunday of every month. DJ Airman Heat will keep your kids dancing all day with the favorites in kids' dance songs. Fun for all ages, this runs till June. Admission is $2 for 13-year-olds and up, and kids under 12 are free. Go to www.cancanwonderland.com to learn more about this and other upcoming events. That's Art Beat for the Week. I'm Elizabeth Horeb, co-host of Connections Radio, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Welcome back, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett in on Fridays as normal with Richard Painter. We're calling Mueller time on the Mueller Report. Hey, Richard, there are three words that get bantered around an awful lot in this world. One of those is collusion, Donald Trump's favorite word. What you and others have been talking about for 2 years, which is criminal conspiracy, is the second C word. And conspiracy is something different than collusion. And then there's this third word, which is compromised. And it feels like that the reason some of us want Donald Trump's taxes, the reason we want to know what happened in the correspondence, the reason what we hope the Mueller report will show is not only if there was a criminal conspiracy, but is the president of the United States somehow compromised where he's making deals, policies, or statements that are intended to appease any government, Saudi Arabia, but in this case specifically Russia, because he's been compromised as the president of the United States. Can you just say a little bit about that, the difference between collusion, conspiracy, and what it would mean for the president to be compromised?
Okay, well, I'll start with the first two, collusion and conspiracy. We know there's collusion. I mean, if there's a Trump Tower meeting. I mean, they're meeting with a Russian agent who's promising dirt on Hillary. And, they also talk about some things the Russians want. It's obvious there's collusion. You had a number of people colluding with the Russians all along the way. The Russians had someone at the Republican National Convention. But a lot of collusion is not conspiracy. Is not criminal conspiracy. In retrospect, we certainly should have some reporting obligations when political campaigns make contacts with foreign nationals, particularly those who are representing foreign governments, and we need to ramp that up. And what we found is Trump campaign people were repeatedly lying about how many contacts they had with Russians, including Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who forgot how many Russians he'd met when he was asked questions by Al Franken. So bottom line is there's a lot of collusion with the Russians, but apparently we need to read the Mueller report here, but not enough to convince Robert Mueller that he could prove a criminal conspiracy beyond a reasonable doubt. As I pointed out in my earlier conversation, a criminal conspiracy is very different. It's coordinated action. A lot different than collusion. Meaning an analogy is people, you know, congressmen, you know, members of the Senate and the House meet with lobbyists all the time. But it's only, there's lots of collusion with lobbyists, but it's only criminal if there's a bribe or some other criminal activity.
Right, right.
Okay, now compromise is a different issue. And that's why we need to see the tax returns. There are two ways in which Donald Trump could be compromised. One is financially. He could be in debt to the Russians or to some other foreign government. Mm-hmm. All we've known is that Americans would not loan him money since 1993 when he had $900 million worth of casino bonds that were in the tank. So none of the American banks or the Western European banks would take a credit risk with Donald Trump. So where has he been borrowing his money for 20 years? He has a lot of relationships in countries that are dictatorships. And it's not just Russia, Saudi Arabia, countries that are moving toward authoritarian regimes such as the Philippines. Donald Trump does not do a lot of business in Western democracies, except for owning some golf courses in Scotland. And by the way, we have no idea who paid for the golf courses.
Those, yeah.
Yeah, who paid for the golf course in Scotland. So where's he been getting his money for 20 years? Well, the tax returns would tell you that if you got the corporate tax returns as well as the individual, because that's where all the activity is at the corporate level. The Russians also may be aware of criminal activity going on within the Trump organization, money laundering, the rest of it. Once they have evidence that you committed any kind of crime, of course, they've got you over a barrel. You are compromised in that way as well. So that's the financial side. Now, of course, we've got other issues having to do with his own personal conduct. And we hear rumors about a tape in a hotel room with the golden showers or whatever that was.
Which, frankly, I had to look up what a golden shower was. I don't get out enough to know.
Yeah, I thought it had something to do with money.
It's worth looking up.
Yeah.
So did I.
Something else.
It doesn't have to do with the money.
Yeah. And, there could very well be other ways in which Donald Trump is compromised. The Russians have stuff on him. Because he's been going over there a lot. And once again, it could be a mixture of conduct that could be a crime, or it could be things that just, that you would not be helpful for being reelected by
your religious right. I guess your point being, if he's just a businessman, and if he's trying to, and he's a media mogul or a media aficionado, these kinds of relationships that he's going to have with Russia or with oligarchs or borrowing money from shady characters and laundering money, it's kind of un-American. It's kind of bad form. It might be illegal if you really get into a severe money laundering prosecution. But our government has seemed to not care about prosecuting money launderers for decades. What makes this a problem is when he decides to run for the presidency of the United States, all of that becomes an issue. And I don't understand. We're going to go to a break in a minute. I'd love for your feedback on this. Why have Republicans, who have been such law and order party, not demanded that Donald Trump just say and show and prove that he's not compromised? Like, how did we get down the road where criminal conspiracy was the only thing this country seemed to care about? So can we talk about that when you come back after the break? AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and this is the afternoon Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Richard Painter and Doug Padgett today.
Okay, Okay, we'll still send a code 3.
Number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchka, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Tonight, showers likely, cloudy with a low around 48. Saturday, chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 63. And Sunday, chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 64. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Hazel's Northeast. They have classically inspired, creatively prepared comfort food. For dinner, enjoy dishes like their Swedish meatballs, pesto chicken, fish and chips, and more. Located at 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis, find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee here on a Friday, talking with Richard Painter about what's going on with this Robert Mueller report. And we are stuck, like a lot of people, now feeling we're going on 2 weeks in which we don't have access to this report. And it's just crushing to some of us because a lot of us care so much about this country. And Richard, I was just asking you before the break, why has the Republican Party become a party in which they will not speak out about the possibility of the president of the United States being compromised? And this question of compromise has come up since before the election. It's what really got Mike Flynn in all kinds of trouble and ultimately had him resign and then be prosecuted. It's what Paul Manafort was accused of during the campaign and just after the Republican convention, is that he too was compromised. A whole series of people for whom the belief was these people have behaved in ways that would make them a national security threat and they're compromised. And I don't understand why the Mitch McConnells, Rand Pauls, Lindsey Grahams, Marco Rubios, John McCain's, and now with some power, Mitt Romney's and all the rest of these people who have acted for my entire adult life, some of these people have been out in the public voice trying to say that it's so important that we use the rule of law to protect the United States, especially against foreign adversaries. I mean, real hawks, these people, real aggressive, anti other countries interfering in our business or our politics. Why has all of that crowd gone quiet on the question of Donald Trump and his cohorts being compromised when it comes to Russia?
Well, we have a serious problem that the president not only has extraordinary power inside the United States government as president of the United States, and I believe too much power, and this ought to be a chance to revisit presidential power, whether it's war making or anything else, but the president also is head of his political party. And once a president is elected, he has near dictatorial power over the party, and particularly in the Republican Party. You had a lot of these people who opposed Donald Trump running for president and preferred someone else. But once he got that nomination, got control of the party, the norm is that he gets to be in charge of the whole party. So if he wants to deliver the whole party to the Kremlin, he's going to do it. And it's a very, very bad situation for the Republicans. I have repeatedly urged that the Republicans ought to take the steps to remove Donald Trump from office, get him off the ticket. I'd get him out of the White House now. If they want to run with Mike Pence, who I have strong disagreements with on a whole range of issues, they want to do that, they'd probably lose. But I think that Donald Trump is psychologically compromised. He is probably compromised with the Russians in terms of the information the Russians have on him. He is engaged in conduct that would clearly be obstruction of justice for any other official would have been indicted for it. That's probably what we're going to find in the Mueller report when we get to see it. This is a very, very bad situation for the United States. And it's tragic that the Republican leaders won't just pull the plug on this. And if they want a far right wing guy, okay, run Mike Pence. But, you know, and lose, but at least don't lose with a Russian asset on your hands.
So Richard, that's a question that is hung over me since the start of the Mueller report. For 22 months, I was nervous because I thought that if Robert Mueller and his group of investigators, if they had information at their disposal that showed that Donald Trump truly is compromised, and I believe that he is, right? So I'm having a hard time reconciling this. If Robert Mueller and his team knew that the president of the United States was compromised, they've looked at his tax returns or they've looked at emails or they have their own investigational tools, listening in on phone calls and all, and they know that he's compromised, for them to not make that known to the American populace, to Congress, and to do something about it, seems that that would be an un-American kind of response, right? So if that's true, that they know he's compromised and they buried this in some report that they took 22 months to get out, and now for weeks it's been held up in the Justice Department, and if we do end up finding out that there were things that would cause us to believe that the president is compromised and they knew about it and they didn't act on it, that seems impossible that they would act that way. I would think they would have blown a whistle and moved the investigation in another direction. Or the other option is they didn't find anything that indicates that he's actually compromised. So what does a person like me do who's trapped between what seems to be two impossible conclusions here, either that there is no information, that's why they didn't act, or that they did find evidence of compromise and didn't act? But either way, they're not acting. So,
well, the key is to lean on the, it is now Attorney General Barr needs to release the report. And we need to get the pressure on Attorney General Barr to release the report. We need to see it. Rather than speculate about what Robert Mueller's team found and how much evidence of the president is compromised, we can't speculate. We have to see the report. It is the obligation of the Attorney General to turn this report over to Congress. We need to keep the pressure up. I don't think it helps to sort of question Robert Mueller and the integrity of the investigation, mm-hmm. because then it okay. brings into question, well, gee, what's the report worth? I think the report says, you know, everything they found, all the evidence they found, and it may very well not have arisen to a level of criminal conspiracy, but there could very well be evidence in there that the president is financially compromised, that the Russians may very well have other information on him that could compromise him, that there was a great deal of collusion, which fell short of criminal conspiracy. It's a 400-page report. We have already seen the president's campaign manager indicted, his deputy campaign manager, and found guilty. And his lawyer, guilty. His national security advisor, guilty. Even the coffee boy, guilty. And so, you know, I think it's critically important to focus on, you keep our eye on the ball here. Attorney General Barr has that report. His four-page summary may very well be misleading and doesn't address whether the president is compromised at all, doesn't outline the collusion at all, doesn't discuss what evidence of obstruction of justice there was at all. We absolutely need to get that report. And now I want to emphasize a point I made last week. The Attorney General never should have participated in this to begin with. Before he took that job as Attorney General, he was interviewing with Donald Trump to represent Donald Trump against Robert Mueller as defense counsel. He drafted memos for the defense lawyers representing other defendants, pitching a pro-defense position on this. He was obviously trying to get in on the action on the defense side. He has no business going to the Attorney General's house job, and then taking Robert Mueller's report and shoving it under a mattress. So we need to keep the pressure on Barr. And this is about Barr. It's not about Mueller. It's about Barr. We need that report. And if he doesn't turn it over, they should start impeachment proceedings against him for lying to Congress. Because that memo he wrote, that four-page memo, may very well be false. And if he wants to show us it's not false, show us the report.
Well, do you think it's possible that Robert Mueller found information that does indicate that the president of the United States is compromised and we should not have the trust that he's acting with only the best interests of the United States at heart and has still acted in the way that they have? In other words, they've stayed quiet as an investigative team. They turned over a report to the attorney general and have stayed quiet. Is that possible that they could have found that information and still are maintaining this silent decorum? Is that possible? That
everything's possible. We also don't know who else has copies of that report in the intelligence community or portions of that report.
Right.
And so,
but no one's doing anything, which is what's making me crazy. Point. I mean, this is like somebody watching a building burn down and saying, well, I promised I wasn't going to make any more phone calls today, so I'm not going to call the fire department. Like, why? How can someone like me, talk me off the ledge here, who wants to trust Mueller on this thing and wants to trust the Justice Department's commitment to getting the truth out, hold these things simultaneously, that they could have this information? Because this is what all my Trump supporting friends are saying to me. They're like, you are so delusional that you still think that Robert Mueller would have compromising material on Donald Trump, or material showing that he's compromised, and yet he's not going to say anything. Of course he would have said something. They would have blown the whistle. They would have blown the whistle months ago and gotten a whole lot of other people involved. This is proof that there's nothing there.
I don't think so. I think we need to see the report to find out what's there. And I think this trying to speculate as to what Robert Mueller would do. We don't even know who has seen this report, who in the intelligence community has seen various parts of this report and knows what's in there. Furthermore, I want to tell you that some people on the Mueller team apparently are subtly leaking to the press, not very much by way of details, but there are reports that the Mueller team people are frustrated because Attorney General Barr's letter may very well have been misleading in the way it characterized the report. We don't know what's going on, but the Mueller team is apparently very unhappy with this state of affairs, and that is not a situation that's going to last. Once again, that report, portions of it may have been shared with the intelligence community. We don't know what the New York Attorney General knows or the people in the Southern District of New York. And if Attorney General Barr thinks he's going to keep a lid on this permanently, I don't think that's going to happen. I think what they're doing is dragging it out, trying to take up the news and have it drip into the news and have as many things like this Joe Biden thing. I mean, people can get very excited about, Joe Biden hugging people the wrong way. And then, we could generate 5 days worth of news coverage on that. And then it'll be something else. And someone will say something about another Democratic candidate. And then we'll get little bits and pieces of this thing. And I think they're trying to manipulate the news cycle, and they're very, very good at manipulating the news cycle, but they're not going to keep that report under wraps for very long.
I think you're right. Hey, let's go to a caller. And Fridley, our friend Mark. Hey, Mark, question for Richard or comments?
Hey, guys. I've got a comment about Rosenstein, and then I just want to look back at historically on the career of Robert Mueller, who is William Barr's best friend. Going back to the H.W. Bush administration, because if you look at his conduct and his past investigations decades old, he seems to be an expert at knowing where not to look. And he understands that you're not going to find what you're not looking for. And recently, Rosenstein, his assistant in this investigation, was speaking at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And Richard, as a law professor, how do you understand this? He's saying one of the challenging issues we face in the department, Justice Department, is the question of whether transparency is a good thing. And there is a knee-jerk reaction to suggest that we should be transparent about what we do in government, but there are a lot of reasons not to be transparent about what we do in government. And I would go back to Robert Mueller's handling for the Justice Department as a lead investigator of the Bank of Credit Commerce International, where his chief assistant told Congress that he was told by Robert Mueller, 1992, not to indict.
Well, there are a lot. Financial crimes are extremely difficult to prosecute. We have this being Kamala Harris is getting a lot of criticism for not indicting various people in the financial collapse of 2008 when she was the Attorney General of the state of California. Indictments, criminal indictments in a lot of areas, particularly conspiracy and also financial crimes, are very, very hard. The Obama administration tried after the financial collapse of 2008 to go after the big banks and came up with very, very little, and they tried hard. I think that it's very important. This is one of the things I think the Team Trump is hoping for, that people on the left are going to start attacking Mueller and going after him. That's going to undermine the integrity of the entire investigation because the right has been attacking Mueller for 2 years and Fox News and all that. If they can get people to attack Mueller on the left, then the whole thing is going to be turned into a joke by the time they release the report because no one's going to trust Mueller anymore. And that's what they want. We've got to keep our eye on Attorney General William Barr. He's the man who has to release this report. And I think he will. I think eventually it's going to happen. But they're taking advantage of the news cycle once again. And they put out that four-page memo, and they're trying to drag this out as long as they can. And notice what happens, that as soon as some other story comes up, people get all excited about this Joe Biden thing, which I'm a personal view. I mean, I really think that Democrats, you need to get serious about the big picture issues, such as the Mueller report, and not just go for every shining object that is dangled in front of them by whoever. And that's what they're hoping for, that they can have enough other clutter out there that this Mueller report, by the time it comes out, people will be fighting over so many other things, and the Democrats will be fighting with each other, with the Bernie people and the Mueller and the Biden people and the whole mess, that the Mueller report will be irrelevant. And they
let's hope not, Richard.
Yeah.
Hold on to that thought. We'll come back here after the break, and we will at least for the next segment not stop talking about the Mueller report, at least here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We'll be back here after the break, AM 950.
Get out of the cold at Burger Mo's. Burger Monday Madness happens every Monday after 4 p.m., except on Excel event evenings, where you can order any burger with fries on the menu for just $6. Burger Mo's always offers fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, desserts, two daily happy hours, and 60 beers on tap. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
Fire up, Minnesota. Warner Stallions Grill Expo is this weekend. See the world's best gas, charcoal, and pellet grills in action. Buy at Warner Stallions' guaranteed lowest price, and you still get trusted free professional assembly, free delivery, free haul away, 18 months no-interest financing, and three free products from No Name Meats and Seafood. Test drive your next grill and get a smoking hot deal this Saturday and Sunday only at all 10 Warner Stallion stores.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to 1 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
It's amazing. After you take a shower or bath, you just feel better about yourself. Refreshed and clean and confident. Your home doesn't have feelings, but if it did, that's how it feels when Zero Res cleans the carpet and air ducts. Kick off your freshest spring cleaning yet and get 3 rooms of carpet cleaning by Zero Res for just $139. Call 952-ZERO-RES or book online anytime at ZeroResMinnesota.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hey, welcome
Welcome back, all. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, your afternoon Minnesota Progressive repartee, a lively banter of conversation, bantering, chatting with, and learning from Professor Richard Painter. He's a professor at the University of Minnesota Law School. Do I have that right, Richard? You're a professor at the law school?
Oh,
or
yes.
Are you at the university?
Yes,
at the law
school.
Yeah, the best school for law training. Richard, one of the things that has sort of depressed me when I follow the news polls is that somewhere between 50 and 70% of Americans don't really care about what's in the Mueller report. It is a shocking. I mean, even among people who think Donald Trump should not be the president, never should have been the president, or should be removed from office, they kind of don't care. And I was on a tour over the election season in October, and candidates all over the country, congressional candidates, were saying, "Boy, a lot of our people don't really care about the Mueller report." So, assuming that most people, many people, more than some, are not going to care about the Mueller report, what do you think those of us who do care about it need to do and to be prepared to think about when it starts to get into these questions of legality and calling for impeachment and making sense of all this, when people really haven't been paying that much attention, and maybe that's why they were so susceptible to William Barr's summary report saying, there's nothing to see here. And they're like, okay, we'll just kind of move on. What do you think we can do to keep the fires burning?
Keep the pressure on and get that report out as quickly as possible. This is a timing game. It's going to come out. It's not going to remain confidential for a long time. But the longer this drags, the more Trump wins. And I think that's the strategy they're going for. They want to go for a soft landing here. It's a bad report, and if bits and pieces of it dribble out, but that they can have enough other news, if the Democratic candidates start fighting with each other, or the Joe Biden thing I used as an example, and, they're going to come up with another controversy, so they can jam the news full of enough other stuff. And then it drips out in bits and pieces. What they envision is a bunch of, page six stories combined, if it all came at the same time, would be headline on page one. But because they're able to slow it all down and get enough other noise in there, basically they're going to diminish the impact. And also, the longer they drag this out, the more the House of Representatives are going to think that, well, impeachment isn't worth it. We'll just go for this and deal with this in the
right.
election.
Yeah, that's my big fear, is that everyone's going to lose the political will. Somebody put it this way the other day, where they said, if you took everything we now know about Donald Trump and his campaign and you released all of that as new information on one day, it would feel overwhelming. If you said he reached out to Russia, he had a meeting in his office, his campaign manager was prosecuted, Mike Flynn had to resign and then was prosecuted. If you released all of that on one day, it would have felt like an overwhelming wave that would knock you over. But because it comes in drip by drip, it's the same amount of water, but it doesn't carry the same force. You're suggesting that if this Mueller report is redacted, and then you get that version, so you get a summary, then you get a redactions, then you get this redaction is lifted, and that sort of drips out a little bit at a time, it will amount to the amount of water that would be compelling, but it'll just come in such small spurts that it doesn't really carry any power.
Yeah, they want to push it off into the summer and maybe into the fall if they can. And then maybe get some news generated if the Democratic candidates start fighting with each other, or they can, I've made clear my view on that. I think it's important for candidates to debate issues, but when we start getting into going after each other for this, that, and the other thing, I mean, they're going to try to hype that up. And so they can drag this out, and then hopefully they're going to think other news is going to take over. And then that Nancy Pelosi, who has already a little bit tipped her hand saying, well, gee, maybe there shouldn't be impeachment. I don't think the speaker should do that. I think the House Judiciary Committee needs to ramp up the investigation. And they're working very hard in the House Judiciary Committee. And they've demanded this report. They're looking at other things. But from what I see of the evidence, there clearly is evidence justifying articles of impeachment being voted out of the House Judiciary Committee. This is obviously much more serious than President Bill Clinton lying about it. Well, I can't say it on the radio, but,
Sure.
This is a very serious situation based on the public the available evidence about Donald Trump, and a lot of it has nothing to do with Russia. Some of it does have to do with Russia.
Yeah, and I will tell you, I was truly convinced by my own arguments and that of many others that said 22 months, all of these pages, all of these indictments, there's no way Robert Mueller doesn't come back with conspiracy, and there's no way he doesn't come back with obstruction of justice. But he did.
Well,
so that's worries
where I want to back
me. That
up, as a lawyer, though, I got to tell you, criminal conspiracy is extremely hard to prove.
Sure, sure.
And remember, there is plenty of collusion, but a lot of collusion, and we know there was collusion, and there's a lot more collusion in that Mueller report.
But that's what I mean. I'm trusting you on this one, and want your encouragement, because there's part of me that thinks, you know, look, that's what I was thinking for 22 months. I remember having a conversation with my neighbor about this and saying there's no chance that he's coming back without some level of indictments. I mean, I was convinced that he had sealed indictments already against Trump Jr. and other people that were in that meeting, Jared Kushner and Paul Manafort.
Remember,
I was sure of
it. We got indictments of the campaign manager, guilty.
But not on issues related to their relationship to collusion.
Well, that's the problem. And the criminal conspiracy is extremely difficult to prove criminally. But that doesn't mean that the United States House of Representatives cannot remove the president and should not remove the president for colluding with the Russians, knowing the Russians were engaged in criminal activity instead of reporting it, taking advantage of it to win an election. He actually gave a speech in which he encouraged the Russians to hack the Hillary email. And just what we publicly know is an impeachable offense, and there's more in that report, and we need the report now. And that's what this is all about. We need to put the pressure on Attorney General Barr to release that report, and if he doesn't, he needs to be impeached.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I'll tell you, sometimes it feels like, you know, we could be accused of moving the goalposts, where I used to say criminal conspiracy and obstruction of justice is what he's going to come back with. When he didn't, I was a little shocked. So now I feel like, well, now I've moved on to collusion and compromise for the House. And that feels like this is going to be unsatisfactory. But I think you're saying, no, look, wait for the actual details of the report, and it might actually show much more than what fears might lend us to worry.
Absolutely. Right now, you got a four-page summary written by William Barr as a conflict of interest because he was working with the defense lawyers before he even took over the Justice Department. And then what you're hearing is Fox News summarizes the William Barr summary. And, you know, that's just ridiculous. We need the actual Mueller report.
Well, that's Richard Painter. This is Doug Padgett. On Fridays, while the Mueller report is still up in the air, we're chatting about all these things. It really matters. Richard, thanks for your leadership on this. Thanks for keeping the voice out there. I don't think it matters that only 30-50% of people care about this, because at some point this will rise to the highest levels. And it seems like it sure should. It surely should. So this is the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll talk with you next week.